Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find the notes that were there in your bulletin when you walked in this morning, well, this is the last in the series we've been doing from Mother's Day to Father's Day about the old godly way. The old godly way. Taken from the passage in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, where it says, "This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you'll find rest for your souls." But you reply, "No, that's not the road we want." You see, there is this battle going on in our culture today of saying, "I want to go down this road." And God says, "Look, here's my way. This is the right way. Yes, it's old. Why is it old? Because it's right and it doesn't need to change. It's the same yesterday, today, forever. And this is the way to walk. And if you do it, you'll find rest." But you and I tend to be a people who say, "Well, you know what? I think I'll go my way." And we go down another road and we get into trouble. And this morning, we're going to look at another issue that we tend to wrestle with this subject about, and that's children. Children matter. So we're going to talk about, I'm going to say some things today that, okay, if you're not careful, you'll think, well, he's just saying that because he's old. All right? And I am. I know. How did I get to be this old? I don't know. I remember when I was younger, I thought if you were this old, you were just done. You know, life was over. Man, you know, I don't think that anymore, but I used to. All right? So it's not that I'm old. It's just that here's God's way, but our society, the culture we live in, let's do it another way. Children. Judges chapter 2, verse 6. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. See, I got a lot of years left. They buried him in the land that he had been allocated at Timnath Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Ganesh. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods, the people around them, and they angered the Lord. You see, one generation serves God. The next generation abandons God. If I remember, we've already talked about how that you and I live in a time where we recognize that Christianity, they say, is just one generation away from extinction. And that we see happening in the children of Israel. They served God when the people were around that followed him and saw him and worked with him. But then another generation comes along and says, "Nah, we don't want that road. We want to go down our own road. We like this way better." And so we begin to go a different way. And we've done that with our children. I'm going to give you four principles this morning in raising kids. Four principles that you and I have to understand is biblically the way the Bible teaches it, but it's not the way we're going today. It's another road. First thing is, you have to consciously set an example for your children. Consciously set example for your children. Parents, I don't care what you do, how you do it, but no matter what you do, your example speaks louder than anything else. How you live sets the tone for how your children are going to look at you. How your example is sets the tone of how your neighbors look at you. Do you understand, folks, today that your example speaks volumes? That it speaks louder than your words? And what example are you setting, not just for your children, but for your co-workers, for the people around you? Are you living an example that is Christ-like before every one of them? Because your example matters. You say, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't know what I've been through." It doesn't matter. God says, "Look, I'll take care of the past. Would you just live for me today?" "Well, my kids are going to suffer because of all the things I've done." Not if you show them the right way to live. You see, I'm there to set an example. Now, you see, your kid gets in trouble at school. You go to school. When you get to school, you start blaming the teacher and the principal and all the other people for the problems your perfect child is having. You have now set a horrible example for your child. You have taught them they never do anything wrong. You have taught them that if they can get away with it, they can manipulate the system. You see, schools are wrestling today because they cannot discipline kids. And why can't they discipline kids? Because mommy and daddy complain. And you see, the road they're going down is, my kids are right, don't you dare touch them. And so if you're working in the school system, and many of you know this who work there, you can't even touch a child. You can't even put them on the shoulder to have them go. You can't do anything. Why? Because you got a mom and dad that's going to come along and say, hey, don't you do this to my child. My child is innocent. Well, you've heard me say it before. Let me just say it again. Folks, children are sinners. Children are rebellious. Children are not perfect. Children need an example that's set before them. You show them how to live when life is unfair, because life is unfair. You show them how to react when things don't go the way that you want them to go, and how you set the example for them. This is how you handle this crisis. This is how you deal with this situation. This is how you treat people. This is how you respond when people treat you wrongly. This is how you do that. But if all you're doing is complaining and griping and talking bad about people and everything, what do you think your kids are going to be like? And so you have to understand that the greatest tool that you have to help your child is you. And it's the examples that you set. And men here today, you're at the top of the list. You have an example to set for your children. You're not just living for you. You're living for those who are watching you. And that's true of all of us, isn't it? Proverbs 4:10, my child, listen to me and do as I say, and you'll have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. I'll take you where you need to go. Psalm 101, verse 2, I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. You see, your kids see what you're really like. You can be one thing here this morning, but when you go home, your kids see a different person. And if they see two different people, they're trying to kind of confused of which one is real and which one is right. And therefore, if I got two different examples, I can't believe either of them. Proverbs 20, verse 7, the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. So your example, my example, becomes critical in how we're dealing with this next generation. We're the example. You see, here's the problem today, what we've got into. Too many adults are trying to follow the example of kids. In the Bible, elderly were revered. They were respected. They were honored. They were the most important people in the culture. Today, in our day and time, everything caters to the young. And unfortunately, we buy into it. And so I have to consciously set an example, my life, an example for my children, an example for the people that I associate with, an example that I am not ashamed of, an example that is the same no matter where I'm at. I am consistently, conscientiously being the same person all the time, a person who serves God. That matters. Secondly, continuously discipline your children. Now it's a blank, but you might want to highlight it, circle it, continuously. From the moment that child is born in your home until they leave that home, if they ever do, you are responsible to discipline your child. Well, Pastor, I just get tired of telling the same thing over and over again. Yeah, welcome to my world. Now, what do you discipline? It's very simple. You discipline rebellion. You discipline defiance. You discipline disrespect. That's what you discipline. You do not discipline them for being a child. Children are great. You know, they'll say things at the wrong moment and things they shouldn't say. But you know what? They're not doing it to be rebellious. They're just doing it because they're a kid, aren't they? You know? So, you know, they'll say this and do this and you'll know, oh no. Hey, they're just being a kid. Let them be a kid. You see, what we're trying to do is make them grow up way too fast. You know, by the time you get to kindergarten now, I remember kindergarten. I can remember kindergarten, even though it was that long ago. I can remember it. It doesn't exist anymore. It was a half a day, and a big part of that day was a nap. Okay? And then you had another thing. You got chocolate milk every so often, which was just wonderful time. And kindergarten was just playing and doing this and learning a little and going on. Now, by the time you get to kindergarten, you've got to be learning things. You got to know how to read and to write and to spell, and you got to do all this so that you're being prepared for college. We're making kids grow up way too fast. And we need to understand, let them be kids. Let them enjoy being a child. Don't force them to grow up and be an adult when they're five. They're not. They're not gonna be. And so what I have to do is understand that I'm responsible to discipline them. I'm responsible to tell them, this is the way you're gonna go. This is what you're gonna do. Well, who am I to tell my kid what to do? You're a parent. That's who you are. Act like one. You're responsible to discipline them. And discipline means you correct. And discipline means sometimes you spank. Now that's the old godly road, isn't it? That you won't hear today, will you? Proverbs 13:24. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children while there is hope. Otherwise, you will ruin their lives. Wow. You see, we're raising an undisciplined generation. We're afraid to discipline. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. You know, fathers, be careful how you raise them, but discipline them. Do it. Hebrews 12:5. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. And as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God's treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who's never disciplined by his father? I've heard of a lot of them. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you're illegitimate, not really his children at all. Since we respect our earthly fathers who discipline us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? Now notice this, our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, here it is, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. I don't care what all the psychologists say. I don't care what all the books say. I don't care what the media says. There is nothing that will take the place of godly discipline in a home. And dads, when you read the scriptures, you will find out that a huge responsibility for discipline when it's directed in the scripture is directed to the fathers. A responsibility that we have. So I am to raise my children. I am responsible to set an example for them. I'm not going to give in to, oh, I want to make my life easy for them. Shame on you. Well, I want my kids to be better, have it better than I did. Why? Well, I don't want my kids to have to suffer through the stuff I did. How come? In other words, you want to make life soft for them. If they don't like something, oh, you don't have to do it. You know, you go into a school, well, I don't like that teacher. Well, I'll get you another one. Well, no, I don't like the school. Well, I'll find you another place. I'll get you a place where you're happy. Parents, your responsibility is not to make your children happy. Okay? Your responsibility is to help them grow up. And life is hard. And if you're always coddling them and giving to them what they want, well, I like this and I don't want this, and you do everything you can to remove any pain or hardship from them, you know what? Me, if I got disciplined at school, I got disciplined when I got home. You know, if I didn't like some of school, you know, but Dad, I don't like this coach. I'm playing a little league and I don't like the way the coaches treat me. Suck it up and go on. It taught me something. How do you deal with things when things are difficult? Rather than just, well, let's get you somewhere else. Let's make you happy. I'll move on. Consistently teach your children godly principles. Consistently teach your children godly principles. In other words, this is God's way. This is the way life works. This is how God says. This is how we live. This is what we do. You bring them to church a lot. Well, you know, my kids don't need church to be a Christian. You're right. You can be a Christian and not go to church, but you probably won't be. And so you need to set the example for them, right? I'm going to be here. You're coming with me. This is important to us. This is what matters to us. Being in God's house, hearing God's word, learning from God, what God has to say, being with godly people, understanding that that's the critical thing in life. It matters more than anything else in life. It's not about making money. It's not about being able to do this and experience it. It's about what does God say and what does God want. I want to make it so important that nothing will distract me from making church positive, important. You know, I'm going to do this no matter what is going to happen. I'm going to teach you the principles of God's word, that authority matters, and if God says it, you do it. I'm going to teach them the principles of God, not the principles of the world. The principles of God's word. And I'm going to put my kids everywhere I can where that's going to be reinforced. And hear me, it's not going to be reinforced in your schools. It's going to be reinforced at home. Deuteronomy 11:8. So commit yourself wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Now he's not telling you to literally do that, although that's what the Jewish people do. What he's saying is teach them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Psalm 34:11, come my children and listen to me. I'll teach you to fear the Lord. Malachi 2:15, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart and remain loyal to the wife of your youth. What's God want for my kids? He wants them to be godly. That's what he wants. That's the goal of a Christian parent. I want my child to be godly. That's above everything else. That's the number one priority. As a parent, that's what I'm raising them to be, godly. I'm not raising them to be successful in life. I'm not raising them to have a lot of friends. I'm not raising them to be the star athlete or the star person in this event. I'm not raising them to have all the things that life has to offer. I'm raising them to be godly. If they are godly, they'll have everything they need. That's my goal. That's our goal. While I'm here, just let me say it. I hope you know that grandparents, I've been talking to you as well because you have an influence and it's your responsibility. Oh, I don't have kids anymore. I just get to spoil my grandkids. No, you don't. You get to set an example for them. You get to help them be godly. Boy, as quiet as this, you'd think I was talking about money or something, you know? Fourthly, create a home of joy and peace and love. Create a home that's full of joy and peace and love. How do I do that? You begin from the very first day that you're married, from the very first time you're there. You set in your home, it's a place of peace and it's a place of joy. Here's a question. Is your home a place your kids want to be? You see, some kids get into trouble because they'll go anywhere rather than be home. Because when they come home, all they're going to hear is fighting. All they're going to find is parents who are unattentive and not caring, who are involved in their own thing and don't have time for them. Are you going to be willing to build a home where you're involved with your kid? You see, there's a lot of people today that struggle with this. Psalm 128, verse 1, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, all who follow his ways. You will enjoy the fruit of your labor. How joyful and prosperous you will be. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. This is the Lord's blessing for those who fear him. You know, if you fear the Lord, God will make your home a place of joy and peace and love. Psalm 133, verse 1, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that is poured over Aaron's head, ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Proverbs 3:33, the Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. As a parent and as a grandparent, my task is to make my home a place of love, a place of joy, and a place of peace. Because you know what? There's not many places like that in this world. I want them to have a place here at church. I want them to have one at home. So I'm responsible to discipline kids. I'm responsible to come to a place where I consistently set an example and live a life that's right before them so that they can watch me and they can follow in my footsteps, because I'm going to take them to God. I'm going to do everything I can to help them be a godly person. And I've got to set an example for that. And I've got to put them in places where that's going to happen. And then I've got to work at making my home a place where they like being, where they're not trying to escape, but where they want to stay. Years ago, I did a little illustration. I'm going to do it again today. I've expanded a little bit. I've got some chairs up here. There's five of them. And as we've talked about all of this here this morning, let me just kind of go through these chairs and just kind of work them out for you so that you explain. Because here's the deal. You sat today in one of these chairs. In one of these chairs, every person in the room sits in one. The first place we're setting is the place of being carnal. In other words, I hope nobody is here today in that position. Carnal person is, I don't care about God. I don't care what God has to say. I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live life my way. It's my choice. I don't care. I don't believe in God. I don't want God. I just want to enjoy life. That's the carnal person. The next person is the person who is conflicted. In other words, well, you know what? I know this is wrong, and I know there's probably a right and a God somewhere. I'm just not sure I really want that at all. I really enjoy this over here. Yeah, there's a little of that, but I don't need any of that stuff. Every once in a while, I'll feel a twinge of guilt. Every once in a while, I'll feel a little bad, but you know what? I just want to have a good time in life. Third chair. Compromising. In other words, you know what? I see God and I see he's right and I see he's there, but you know what? I think I can be a Christian and still do this. I think I can just live like I want to live. I can do what I want to do. And you end up compromising your life for doing what's wrong and what you know God doesn't approve of. The next chair is the one that's comfortable. In other words, you're here this morning. I think a lot of people are here today or in this chair. I'm comfortable. You know what? The Lord comes, I think I'm good. I'm pretty good, you know? And so I'll come to church. I'll wear the tag of a Christian, but I don't want to, you know, let's not get overboard with this. I still want to enjoy some of the things here. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm not going to do anything really bad. I'm just comfortable in life. I feel okay about my service to God, and I feel good about what I'm doing here, and I'm just feeling like I'm okay. The third chair is the committed chair. I'm all in. I'm serving God. I'm using my gifts to minister. God means more to me than anything else. He is my life. He's everything that I'm doing. He's everything that I want. I am serving him with my whole heart. I'm using the gifts in ministry. I am doing what God wants me to do. Now, parents, just let me tell you something. You sit here in this chair, I can tell you where your kids are going to sit. Your kids will sit in this chair. No matter where you sit, your kids will probably sit in the chair next to you on this side. It is very hard to help them be in the same chair you are. Remember the text that we read at the beginning? In the first generation, they served God because they saw everything, they did everything. But when that generation died off, the next generation didn't know God like that. What's the most dangerous chair to sit in? This chair. Here's how the Bible puts it. I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're neither, I'm going to spit you out. I just wish you were committed to me. I wish I mattered more. I wish you followed my old godly ways than going down your road that you think is right. Oh, you're not as bad as these people. You're not doing this. I would never do anything like them. But I don't know, you know, the Bible, raising kids. Pastor, it's a new day. It's a different time. You just don't understand the pressures. You don't understand the difficulties. You know, I think it's okay like that. And then you wonder why the kids turn out the way they do. Maybe you're here today and you don't have kids, or maybe your kids are all grown, or maybe you're a grandparent. You think, well, you know what? I've sat in this chair for a long time, and I'm really tired, and you know, I'm getting older, and I just think, maybe if I just come over here, everything will be a little bit better, and I let somebody else do it, let somebody else have it. And then you wonder why your grandkids watch you and they're over here. So here's the question. What chair are you sitting in? Because you have to understand, the next generation is probably the chair beside you. Now, here's the good news. Again, when I was a kid, used to play a game called musical chairs. Some of you remember it. Music would play. Everybody would march around the chairs. When the music stopped, everybody had to find a seat. And someone got stuck with no seat at all. Someone got stuck in a seat they didn't want. Well, here's the deal. The music's playing. You don't have to stay in the chair you're in. You can get up and move. But one day, the music's going to stop. And you're going to be in the chair you're in. And you and I live in a difficult time of raising kids. Our culture has made it more difficult to raise godly children. Parents, adults, we all have a responsibility to set an example for the people around us. We all have a responsibility to be this committed person that says, you know what? I'm going to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, with all my being. I'm going to do everything he wants me to do. I'm going to be involved as much as I can. I'm going to be the person God wants me to be because I want to set an example for those coming after me. Whether it's my kids or somebody else's kids, it doesn't matter. I want to be the example that they can watch so that they can walk into this building and say, there's a godly person. There's somebody I maybe want to be like. There's somebody that I can follow. But if you're just trying to play it safe, just trying, well, let's not get carried away with all of this. Well, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm all right. I'm not a bad person. One of the most tragic things I've heard over the years, I did youth ministry, as a lot of you know, for a lot of years. And I'll have these kids come back to me and they'll say, you know, I don't understand something. When I was a kid growing up, my parents were committed to God. They were involved in church. They were doing this and doing that. And, you know, we came to church and I was there and they raised me in a way that was great. But now that they're older, they're not doing that anymore. Now they're kind of back in here. And as a 30-year-old, 40-year-old adult, I look at them and say, what happened? Why aren't they like they used to be? You see, this consistency becomes important, doesn't it? It's a difficult thing. It's an important thing. So you and I come to that place today where we have to ask ourselves, when it comes to being the person God wants me to be, am I being the person that's committed? Am I really doing what God wants me to be? Am I sitting in the right chair? Because what chair you sit in determines everything about your life and the life of the people around you. So you and I have a choice to make and ask ourselves honestly, what chair am I sitting in? Because that chair not only affects my future, it affects the futures of those coming along behind me, doesn't it? Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.